Do you know what splooting is? If you Google squirrels splooting, it's like they're just face planted directly on the pavement.
Splooting.
Splooting.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the noon hour of, no, not the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin.
Still getting used to
Still
these new hours.
Still getting used to it. This was the first week that we have been on from 10 to 12 across the Civic Media Network instead of 11 to 2. I still have a bunch of social media things I have to update so that we have the right times
on
when we're promoting the show.
Yes.
But there's a lot of details to go double check. But I actually, during the break, I got a bit of news. Jade Madnair.
You did.
I got a bit of news from a friend of mine who texted me that said, hey, do you know that you're up for best radio personality on Milwaukee Magazine, Best of Milwaukee?
Wow.
And I was like, no, I did not, especially since Chris Drosner, executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine, was here yesterday. And so it's like, he did not inform me that I was included in that.
Wow, well, and congratulations.
And so if you would like to vote, I guess even if you don't live in Milwaukee, but if you would like to vote for Milwaukee Magazine's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards, go to vote.milwaukeemag.com. And there's probably a ton of different things that you vote for food and drink and recreation and services and stuff like that. But voting is open until June 11th. And winners are going to be announced in September issue of Milwaukee Magazine. I have not, because we came back from break, I have not seen who else is included in other radio personalities that are up for it. It is an honor. I sound so cheesy, but it is an honor just to be nominated, considering this is, we're not even a year in yet. As far until like July 5th will be the year anniversary of this show, but I'll take the publicity to have people voting, and so I'm hoping enough people will fill out that survey and vote and say who the hell is Kristen Bry, and then maybe they'll check out the show. But I feel that is very exciting.
That's really exciting.
That's really cool.
Well done, my friend.
Thank you. Well, are we? Are we good? I think we're waiting for our next guest to join us. This was back in, I want to say February, that the food share benefits, also known as SNAP, were abruptly coming to an end. There was an extension during COVID for extra benefits, and pretty abruptly, there was a vote to end those benefits. And we had talked to Sherry Tussler from Hunger Task Force back right before that was going to go into effect, and kind of the predictions of how bad that was going to be for how many people across Wisconsin. And so since it's been a couple months and we've gone through the debt ceiling negotiations, we're going through Wisconsin budget negotiations, I thought we would have Sherry Tussler back on the show to talk about where we're at with, this is put it bluntly, hunger in Wisconsin. So welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, Sherry.
It's great to be here.
So I guess, like I just said, the last time we talked, it was kind of pending and there was a lot of, speculation of how bad it was going to be. And I guess in the months since the extension for food shares happened, what has it been like for you guys and across the state for other food banks?
Well, we're starting to see an increase in demand for emergency food from food pantries. And so people who were previously shopping at the grocery store and buying the foods that they prefer now have to stand in line and beg for help again. About a 15% increase in the month of April over March, which was actually when the emergency allotments ended. I was at public housing today and met a gentleman who said, how do I sign up for some other kind of help because I don't have any money on my Quest card anymore? It's going to be bad.
It's bad. And
Has there been, because I know the last time we talked as far as conversations for what could be done with the state budget, and as we see headline after headline roll out as far as what is getting cut from this, that, and the other, has there been any progress there as far as silver linings of stuff that may help for people when it comes to?
No. Okay. The governor budgeted $20 million for what he called the Food Security Initiative, and that would have been in the state agency that is the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and we were promised by conservative Republicans that dominate that committee that a funding bill would go through so that we could fund the Badger Box program across the state. And at the last minute, they pulled that out. And so the Badger Box has also been zeroed.
And remind people what the Badger Box was going to be or is.
Well, it has been a box of all Wisconsin foods, a commodity box of foods, where we purchased foods using CARES and ARPA dollars from Wisconsin farmers, food producers, and food cooperatives. And we had them aggregated into a box and delivered to 17 different communities, rural, urban, remote, indigenous, across the state, in order to address hunger needs in those communities. And it was incredibly well received. People loved the Badger Box.
Yeah.
And it not only helped hungry people, it helped farmers.
I was going to ask you, Sherry, what did the farmers who were involved in that say about this program?
They're dismayed. They're upset. And the crazy part is some of the people that were on the committee are farmers themselves. And so farmers voted to defund farmers during that vote.
And did you, this is the thing that when you are in these conversations, do they ever give you a reason, or is it just the rug gets pulled out from underneath you that it's like, well, this is not going to happen?
As we understand it, there's a specific person on the Joint Finance Committee that looks at a specific budget. In this particular case, it was a gentleman named Tony Kurtz, and he would give the thumbs up or thumbs down to something like the Badger Box, and he gave it the thumbs down. No one's giving us any reason why they voted against it, even though so many of them said that they would vote for it. So we are left standing going, you know, where's the democracy? Where's the transparency? Where's the explanation? Where's even an understanding that you could give to the consumers or the business people that we're buying the food from? And there's no explanation.
Because to me, when you explain what the Badger Box is and how it's a win-win in so many different ways, because it's all food products from Wisconsin that is supporting Wisconsin businesses, supporting Wisconsin farmers, going to people who need food. Again, I said this in the first hour, like, it just kind of boggles the mind of, like, why, how can you be against this? This is a nonpartisan thing. Like, feeding people and supporting businesses is nonpartisan, is it not? And so I guess with...
It became partisan because it was something that they viewed was supported by the governor. Hmm. And it was ARPA dollars. And they said that anything that had previously been funded using ARPA dollars was going to be dead on arrival. Which, you know, honestly, like, the pandemic was terrible, but some good things came out of it.
Yeah. And so as far as moving forward, because obviously you don't just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, that's it. So what are some of the initiatives and projects, knowing that this funding is not coming through, knowing that the extensions for the food share program has been month two or three since that's been shorted? What are some of the plans as far as and priorities for Hunger Task Force for the rest of the year?
Well, we're not going to give up on that Badger Box because
good.
We've been turned down by state government, but it seems like the federal government could fund it. And honestly, the kinds of commodities that we get at our food bank that come from the USDA and the Commodity Credit Corporation are things, you know, from other states. We believe that we could do the Badger Box much more cheaply right here in our state with foods from Wisconsin and create a local food system, which is what the Biden administration has been talking about since they took office. And so we're starting a letter writing campaign to Secretary Vilsack to ask him to do a carve out so that we can continue the Badger Box. We're literally saying, could you please just give us the money that you waste?
And how much money would it take?
$36 million over 2 years.
Okay. Well, is there anything that our listeners can do to help?
Yeah. They could call Baldwin's office. Okay. They could call Secretary Vilsack's office. They could reach out to the USDA and demand why a locally successful commodity program with a smaller footprint and a greener approach can't be funded. And they should demand some equity for Wisconsin farmers.
And Sherry, I can't even imagine your frustration after being told that, yep, we're all behind this. And then all of a sudden, zip, we're not. And as you said, without any explanation, which just tells me that this was not justifiable and they just don't have a way to justify this decision.
It is super frustrating. I've been doing this work for 25 years now. And I guess I'm never surprised at the ignorance of elected officials when they just go about their business and don't care about their constituents. But this one was hard. It was really hard.
Well, to not end on a totally sad note, I did see that yesterday the Bucks and Cousin Subs had a campaign that raised more than $20,000 for you guys.
They surely did.
That's some good news. It's not,
yeah,
it's not $36 million, but it's something.
$150,000 for us. Yeah. You know, and it really does take, you know, all of those contributions from individuals, corporations, foundations to make a difference in terms of feeding the hungry. And so I also want to give a shout out, not just end on a sad note and say our donors have been great. People have supported us. We've got lots of great friends all over the community and now in the state of Wisconsin. So if you've supported hunger relief over the last couple of 3 years, thank you very much.
Absolutely. And I'll put all the stuff for Hunger Task Force in the show notes today as far as donations and things you can do to help or donate to Hunger Task Force, because it is so important. And I just thought it was important to give people an update, because I know when we talked about it last, we knew it was coming. And then there was very little talked about what's happened since. And so even though it is not good news and it is hard, I'm so grateful to have you give us an update on what's going on. And so you're open door to come back whenever you want, Sherry, because this is a really important issue that touches a lot of things and a lot of people.
All right. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Have a great day. Thank you for your work. Sherry Tesler is the executive director of Hunger Task Force and has been since 1997. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Soon you'll be there. Because that's what friends are supposed to do. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. You can count on me.
Finland. The country where I want to be, pony trekking or camping, or just watching TV. Finland.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are rolling through today's Friday show. And this is a callback to last week. Was it last Thursday or Friday when we were talking about how electricity bills in California are now going to be tied to your income? Was that, last Thursday?
I think so, yeah.
And I had said, oh, this reminds me of, you know, a thought exercise that we had to do in college on what is more fair or more equitable or actually more effective when it comes to speeding tickets. And you had to defend if it was more advantageous to charge people on a speeding ticket based off their income or a flat fee. And thinking that someone who is very wealthy, if they have the same, you know, what is a huge speeding ticket for someone who is poorer is a drop in the bucket for someone who is richer.
Sure.
Well, it turns out this is not just a hypothetical in some places. In, you know, some Finnish things, reindeer, Nokia, and a $130,000 speeding ticket.
What?
Yeah. So, on Sunday, a man in Finland was fined 121,000 euros, which equates to about $130,000, for going 20 miles over the speed limit. Miles per hour over the speed limit.
That's crazy.
Like, that is...
That's some...
not... I mean, that 20 miles per hour over is fast. It depends if you're on a highway versus, like, a residential street. I mean, I think I've gone... I don't know if I've gone 20 regularly. I'm, like, good for always, like, about 10 over the...
Yeah.
5 to 10 over the speed limit on the highway. But, so... So it's the speeding tickets in Finland are calculated based on income. It's called the day fine system, wherein half of the offender's daily income is multiplied by a certain number of days, which increases according to the severity of the offense. So the driver hit with a six-figure fine has a fairly large income. And he is the founder of a multi-million dollar company called Wiclof Holding Company.
Okay.
And he's one of Finland's richest people. But I guess this has been around. Maybe this is what originally the college thought thing was based off of.
Could be.
Because this day fine system was established in 1921. This is not a new thing. And I guess other countries have adopted it since, including Switzerland, which is... pun intended, far from neutral, when it comes to the rules of the road. So the Swiss hold the world record for the biggest speeding ticket fine, which was the equivalent of over $1 million to a man who went to Mad Max Fury Road on his motorcycle.
Uh-oh.
And there's a bill here.
That would do this.
So there's a bill introduced in New York City. So then the New York City Council last month that would make parking fines proportional to income in an attempt to alleviate the affordability crisis and recover some of the city's $1 billion outstanding parking and speeding tickets.
See, now I want to check back with the guy, though, who had to pay almost $1 million in fines and find out if that really changed him.
Oh, that's a good question.
You know, I mean, and for... for the, what, Finland's richest man is $130,000 that much money? I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to spend it, but...
it's certainly a waste of money.
Well, without a doubt. But did that really change the behavior?
I'm surprised he's driving himself. Right?
That's a good point.
Did we learn this with Succession when we talked about Kieran Culkin's, like, what have you learned about rich people being in the show Succession? He goes, that they never need coats.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they just, you're either in a helicopter or in a car and they're dropped off exactly where they need to go and they never walk outside long enough to need a coat. And so if you're Finland's richest man or one of, why are you driving yourself, bro?
Like, yeah, that's, although that seems like a very Finnish thing to do.
I mean, I guess it's, is it? Do you know much about Finnish?
We were there briefly when we did a cruise many, many years ago. Lovely country, gorgeous country, really lovely people, a little taciturn and not showy. I would say that the Finns are not braggarts.
Okay.
And so having your own driver might be a little ill. Who do you think you are?
Oh, interesting. But I mean, yeah, that's funny. That's really funny. But I guess my question to you at home is, does this seem like a fair system? Does this seem like something that would be an advantageous thing to apply to different, and maybe not power bills? Because for some reason, it was hard to get, like, when we were talking about it last week with the bills, it felt harder to wrap your head around of, like, should you have to pay more in your electricity bill just because you make more? But for some reason, when it comes to, like, fines of you breaking the law... because the point is, and maybe the difference is this, maybe the difference is like you need electricity. So, and this is what it costs to provide that versus the point of giving you a fine when you do something wrong is so that you don't do it again.
Right.
And so if the fine is too low because you're just rich, what's going to keep you from just paying it again? So maybe that's what the difference is of why this feels much smarter. And like, I feel like we could get more public support behind than your bills associate to how much money you make.
Yeah, I think it would be an easier sell. I do.
So let us know. Would you be on board for fines like speeding tickets and, I don't know, anything else you would get a fine for be relative to the person's income to, you know, potentially dissuade them from doing it again? 844-967-2789. We will take your calls and your texts on that question when we come back. But we're also, when we come back, am I the sphincter? It's that time of the week. We would love to hear your opinion on some of these situations that we have. But this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Finland, Finland, Finland.
Finland has it all. Finland has it all.
Busy douche. Everything you said was a lie. You're a douche, you're a douche.
You're still a really, really handsome guy.
Thank you.
You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big, fizzy douche.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And it is that time on a Friday when we are going to do Am I the Sphincter? And I just thought about this at the break because I feel like we probably are one of the only radio shows today that is somewhat political that spent so little time talking about Trump.
Well, I think there's so much out there, and it's being well covered by many, 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 many others. And trust me, it's on our radar, too.
It is on our radar. And I actually was just thinking, I was like, oh, this is a huge missed opportunity, and maybe I shouldn't even say it in case I have time to write it later. But had I had the foresight this morning writing an Am I the Sphincter submission from Trump's POV? Am I the a-hole for not returning these documents and, like, explaining the whole situation?
Here's what happened.
Who's right and who's wrong in this situation? But, you know, the other guy who, like, it's his Justice Department, he also kept documents. And so, like, come on. Am I the jerk?
You know what? With the way things are going for him right now, he might actually consider doing something like that.
Popular opinion, man.
Yeah, I can see him popping up on a subreddit and yeah.
And but yes, I wanted to just acknowledge that we are aware that Trump got indicted last night. We're also aware it's a very big deal. And I also was aware that every other show probably on this network and other networks, we're going to talk about it. And also, I was at an event last night, and I was off my phone. I was good. Not checking social
good
media. I was present. And it wasn't until after the event was over, like 9:45, that I checked Twitter. And I was like, oh, wow.
Something happened.
Something happened.
Yes.
And I have to admit, I was very relieved to be doing something else and not home, you know, on a Thursday, kind of unwinding for the night and then getting all riled up on Twitter, reading people's takes and,
right.
And you know, all the people on the right who had things to say as far as how this is, you know, the war, you know, this is such a disgrace of the Justice Department and blah, blah, blah. And all the people on the left who were like, this is accountability and no one is above the law and everything. Because, we're going to have months to talk about this.
Yeah, this isn't going away.
And so I wanted to at least acknowledge that we know that it happened and that it's okay that we didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
But I do. Maybe I will write that.
I like
Ida,
that. That's
from,
got
from Trump's POV.
There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of potential.
But anyways, we do have some other submissions that we wanted to read. This is the segment where we pull from Reddit. There is a subreddit called Am I the A-Hole? We like to say Am I the Sphincter for FCC reasons, where people submit real life situations from their life, and they ask for people's input on whether or not they are the jerk in the situation. We read it. We weigh in. We invite you to weigh in on who is who's right, who's wrong, based on our social norms. So, number one. Am I the sphincter for not babysitting my ex-husband's kid?
Wait, what?
All right.
Am I the sphincter for not babysitting my ex-husband's child?
Which I'm assuming means it's not her kid, because you can't babysit your own kid.
Right.
Dad's.
Good thing to point
reminder.
Out. It's a good reminder.
Michael Sampson, you cannot babysit your own kid.
No, nice try.
It's just called parenting.
Yes.
all right. My 30 female, what? Oh, this is, so the woman who's writing this is 30.
Okay.
She's a female. Her ex-husband, who's 32, male, They have two children,
okay.
A 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. We have been divorced for just about 6 months, and he is now expecting a baby with his new girlfriend.
Oh, well, he moves quickly.
Yeah, that's really fast.
Yes, it is.
I'm admittedly not over him. That's something. We were together for 10 years, my entire adulthood. It was and is a messy split. I'm still bitter and hurt about it, and he seems to have completely moved on. When we had our oldest, neither of us wanted him in daycare.
Okay.
No judgment. We just didn't feel comfortable. So I stayed home and eventually started my own business that allows me to work from home 99% of the time. My parents are also local and retired and help me out as much as they can. This arrangement works for me, and I get to spend time with both of my kids. Now, ex's girlfriend is 5 months pregnant, and they got in a huge fight because she asked him to tour daycares, and he said, absolutely not. He wants her to stay home with the baby. None of his kids are going to go to daycare. Admittedly, the ones here do suck. No, that's a problem. It's a problem everywhere.
Everywhere, yep.
He called me to vent, and I listened. Then he dropped the bomb. He asked if I would be willing to take care of their baby since I'm home with our two and get help from my parents. And when I have to take the kids to the office, I can because I own it. He mentioned that I know how he feels about his kids in one of these daycares, and I sort of lost it on him. It was a year and a half of walled up anger and hurt, and I said some nasty things that I have since apologized for. Fast forward to 3 days later, new girlfriend pulled me to the side when I dropped off my kids to their house and asked why I was so ugly about it and why I thought my kids were better than hers and why her baby doesn't deserve the same things mine get.
What?
I never said that, but I apologized if anything I said came off like that. Told her I'm happy for them. I'm not, but, you know, pleasantries. But was certainly not going to babysit their kid. She's a nurse, so I get she can't work from home and she doesn't want to give up her career, but they should have thought about that. I left before it blew up again, but ex called me about 2 hours later and asked me to come get the kids because he and new girlfriend were fighting and he didn't want them to be around for it. I picked them up, of course, and ex texted me on the drive home and asked again if I would babysit for them for $200 a week. I said no, and he called me a bitter biatch and said I'm being an a-hole because I'm hurt. I don't see it this way at all. I reiterated that the request is absurd and I would not be talking about it anymore. This was yesterday, and all day today, new girlfriend has been texting me and having her friends and family review bomb my business. I'm not worried about it. My clients know my work. Ex-husband hasn't said anything else, but he's been shorter with me in our conversations about our kids. So am I the sphincter for refusing to babysit my ex-husband's new baby? Absolutely not.
What kind of stones do you have to even ask something like that? And if you want the same situation that you had with your ex-wife, you talk to your parents.
Yeah.
You get the woman who's pregnant now with your child, have her talk to her parents.
Yeah. This is the audacity of thinking that we've had were you not in the conversations when we were having like a bitter breakup after being together for 10 years and within 6 months, you're 5 months pregnant? Didn't she say that they divorced 6 months ago and the girlfriend is 5 months pregnant. So
yeah, he's been busy.
I don't know how long they were separated for, but clearly he moved on pretty quickly, which couldn't have felt good. So the fact that you think I'm just going to be okay babysitting your new kid, what?
With the woman that you cheated on me with.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Well,
I feel like she would have added that.
No.
Had she said he cheated. Because when she worded it, she said, he's moved on quickly.
Yeah.
If he had cheated, I feel like she would have put that in the...
Maybe she just doesn't know.
Maybe she's too nice.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Who's the sphincter in this situation? Mark from the SAC is joining us. Hey, Mark, what do you think about this mess?
Well, it's the ex-husband and the girlfriend that are the strangers in this
right?
situation here. That it is just ridiculous. It just sounds ridiculous that they're expecting her to suck it up, because it's pretty obvious that he is probably cheating. That at some point in time here, that he moved on so very, very, very quickly that, that I'm, that personally aware of a situation like this, that, the cheating ex-husband is kind of saying, well, what's the problem here? Why aren't you just accepting, that what I've, that it just is, it's just ridiculous that this guy is.
The entitlement, right?
The complete entitlement that entitlement here that it is just I won't say it's beyond belief because I find it believable that this guy would do there's people out there that would do something like this, but I mean that and the girlfriend as well. I mean, you'd think that she would be a little bit more, I don't want to say sympathetic, but more understanding of the situation here, but geez. She's a sphincter too.
Well, I tell you what, Mark, this new girlfriend, she better watch out, because if she thinks that she doesn't have to worry about him cheating on her, she's delusional. And if the ex-wife does accept to babysit for this one, then down the road, if and when he has another one with somebody else, he's going to expect you to watch that one too.
But there's also so many other red flags, because even beyond that, the fact that he was like, oh, well, you're just going to quit your job. And she's a nurse. It's like she has a fulfilling career that he's like, well, no, we're not going to do daycare. And it sounds like that was her first option. So this guy specifically sounds like the jerk. And on top of that, the fact that he came back and his counter offer was, we'll pay you $200 a week, where everything I know about daycare, it's like, $1,000 a week. Go ahead, Mark.
It's just. I won't say it's remarkable but it just is that this woman is a saint for not just telling this guy where to stick it.
Well, it sounds like she apologized for it. But thanks so much. Go ahead. One more thing.
Yeah, she shouldn't have to apologize for it. I mean, he's probably the cheating bastard, and it is just remarkable here.
Absolutely. I mean, thanks so much for your input, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Happy that you agree with us. Go ahead, Jay.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in on this. John from the Falls, she is definitely not the sphincter he is. Her life is going to be much better without him in it. He is a jerk, and it sounds like his new girlfriend is too. And if he didn't want to pay for daycare, he never should have unzipped his pants.
And here, so I didn't get to the edit update. So she came back after this blew up, because I think that this has like thousands of comments on it. So edit update. Thank you for all the support in the comments. It looks like Google has flagged the influx of reviews for spam, and I did call my lawyer to see what she recommends going forward. Yes, my ex was cheating with his girlfriend for some time before we were divorced.
Thank
so you were right.
Yeah, of course. Please.
I'm surprised. This woman's too nice that she didn't write that in the first submission.
Well, and that she when she lost her, didn't she? Text from the 541. If he's willing to pay the ex, he's treating her like a daycare. So he might as well go somewhere else to employ someone else. Baby daddy, by the way, can quit his job to raise his kids.
I mean, it's like, because the truth is, if you were on good terms, because this happens sometimes,
it
right?
does.
There's co-parenting. There's people who are like, we are happily divorced. We share kids. We co-parent. We are symbiotic. We're all one. We're family.
Yes. We're
not
unit.
Always going to be on the same page, but we are a family.
Yeah.
And whenever I see those families, like, that seems super healthy. There's becomes a community of new wife, ex-wife, new husband,
yep.
or any combination of those things.
Yep.
This is not that situation.
Not at all.
And the fact that you thought that you just pawn your new kid off on your ex-wife who you cheated on. Woof, man. Someone needs to give you a swift kick to the balls for a reality check, and maybe he'll get it now. But, woo! All right, well, we got to take another break. Then we'll come back after that to wrap up today's Friday show of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and she is Jane Matinair. We'll be right back.
Everything you said was a lie. You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche.
But you're still a really, really handsome guy.
Thank you.
You're a douche, you're a douche, you're a big fizzy douche. And
will it true? Will it hurt to say? I'm gonna pack up my bag and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split. I can't stand it.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And this week went by fast.
It sure did. It really did.
It's a little bit of a difference when we are,
getting done at noon instead of
getting
2.
Getting done at noon instead of 2 p.m. And so I'm still kind of, I'm trying to find this for Milwaukee Magazine. So I said earlier in today's show, I was caught off guard and surprised that my friend was clicking through Milwaukee Magazine's Best of Milwaukee.
They do this every year.
Do this every year. You can go vote at vote.milwaukeemag.com. And she was like, did you know that you are nominated for Best Local Radio Host? And I said, I did not know that. I was a little surprised, but I just found it. So radio host, also Earl Ingram.
Oh, wonderful.
So we got two civic media hosts on there. So both Earl and I are nominated, as is John McCure, Mark Belling, and Tariq Moody. From
wow.
Radio Milwaukee and,
cool.
and Hyphen. I actually got to meet Tariq at Dumpling Fest on Sunday.
He sounds like a very lovely
he
man.
He is. Also, he's my neighbor.
Oh, is he
I
really?
Walked up to him and I said, I follow you. And he said, I follow you. And I said, did you know that we're also neighbors? And he goes, no. but that is a great little lineup of a list. And so, so you can go vote. If you listen to this show, I would hope that you would vote for me.
You can also vote for Earl.
But you can also vote for Earl. I will not be offended if I lose to Earl. He's been doing this for a very long time, and he is a respected colleague. I very much appreciate his show and everything that he does and everything he stands for. But like I said, considering I've been doing this only for a year.
Not even
a year. I am very honored to even be on that list. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who look through that and said, who? Because I feel like a lot of people who know me from social media don't necessarily know me by name, but they know me as Goes Wisconsin.
Right.
Because that's
they recognize your face.
They recognize my face, and they certainly recognize my hair. My curly. I feel like that happens. If I wear my hair up, people are like, who are you? But I would very much appreciate it. It would be very fun. I have no expectations of winning, but if you would like to vote for us.
What is the link again?
It is vote.milwaukeemag.com, and voting goes until June 11th, and I think you can vote once a day. Yeah, you can vote once a day, every day, until the 11th. So I will probably be tweeting that out. I will do a little self-promotion.
Tell your friends, tell your family, have them all vote once a day for the next couple of weeks.
I feel a little, because you've been doing this for a very long time. I feel like you should be nominated. Have you ever been nominated for any of these things?
No, not for Milwaukee Magazine, I don't believe.
For Shepherd's Express, anything like that?
No. See, you have a hip element that I've always lacked.
You've been hip. Really?
I'm not so hip.
I feel like when you, like in your younger years, like you were very cool.
I would love to believe that. But I will say that I feel honored by extension.
You should. You were a huge part of this show.
Well, thanks.
But I couldn't do this without you.
I think it's wonderfully exciting.
I think it's wonderfully exciting too. It's also, I mean, also just continuing to get the word out about civic media, getting the word out about WAUK, and now WRJN, which has obviously been around for a long time, but
yes,
now is talk instead of oldies. And so kind of a reinvention for that station. And as we reach people in Racine and Kenosha, but I mean, truly, when you look at the map now, we're everywhere.
Pretty much
anywhere you are in the state, you can get a signal that will stream Civic Media, and certainly will stream our show because we're lucky enough to be on statewide. The only time we're not on in Madison is from 10 to 11, but we are on Madison now from 11 to 12. And it is it's very fun to see. And if the thing is, if you are ever in a spot where you don't have a radio signal that carries Civic Media, you can download the app, which is brand new. Has it updated for Android for you yet? Have you seen the new app?
I have. I'm going to check it after the show.
It's beautiful.
That's what I understand. And there's like fancy graphics. And
there's fancy graphics. There's animation. And the thing that's really cool now, so when you go either update your app if you already have the Civic Media app or go download the Civic Media app from your app store, you can now talk, you can call and text from any given radio station.
Oh, sweet.
So if you click on WAUK or you click on WFHR, you can text into the show from that and it will give you the distinct number for that station.
Cool.
So it routes it to the right show and you can do it all from the app. It's very slick. Very slick.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Anytime you want to check in. Jimmy K is on the phone. Hey, Jimmy, what do you want to say?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. You know, congratulations on the nomination. I also want to mention that Dom and Crute of the Devil's Advocates, they're nominated for Best Radio Team for Best of Madison, which
Ooh.
Is through channel3000.com here in Madison.
Awesome.
That is very cool.
Just started.
Did that just get released this week too?
Yes, it did. So I think voting for that is live through September, I believe. But people can go to Best of Madison and vote for Dom and Crute for Best Radio Team.
That is very... Do they know that yet? I'm surprised Crute didn't mention that when he was on the show earlier today.
I sent Dom a message about it, but I'm not sure if they actually know.
Well, very cool. Well, are you based in Madison, Jimmy?
Yeah. I host Maxine Radio on Civic Media.
Oh, God. This is... There
Jimmy
we go.
K. It's our Jimmy K.
Our Jimmy K. Got it. Sorry about that.
Well, thanks so much, Jimmy. Really appreciate the heads up.
Day.
You too. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. We're going to get the links up in the show notes. I also want to remind everybody, I'm going to be out at the Waukesha Farmers Market tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very fun.
So stop by from 8 until noon, and it looks like the weather is actually going to cooperate, and the rain is going to hold off. I thought it was going to rain all morning tomorrow, but it's supposed to hold off until later in the day and 8 to noon along the Fox River in the Waukesha State Bank parking lot.
That's very exciting.
So come by and say hi. And if you have any questions or complaints, go to the booth next door.
Not here.
I'm kidding.
You should wear one of those buttons that says, like, it's the with the X through it that says, no whining.
No,
I do not want to hear your complaints.
I would love to meet you and talk to you. So stop by tomorrow. Waukesha Farmers Market, 8 until noon.
All right. Well, that'll about do it for us for this week. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show and listening. We will be back on Monday at 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Love.